This section that I wanted to speak on today was on persevering prayer. And I wanted to go to 1 Kings and see what happens here in a situation where Elijah was praying. Remembering that the Bible tells us Elijah was a man with like passions as we are, and that that encouragement from James chapter 5 tells us that the experiences of Elijah can be the experiences of us, because it is the God of Elijah that we are coming into contact with. You remember the story on Mount Carmel, how the God who answered by fire was declared to be God, how the prophets of Baal had cried out to their false gods, and that there had been no answer. But when Elijah prayed, an answer came. And as a result of that, the prophets of Baal were executed. And following that, Elijah says something in 1 Kings 18:41. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." And so here we see Elijah declaring something to Ahab, an unbeliever, a believer declaring to an unbeliever that there's going to be rain. Now, that might not sound like a very exciting thing, but if you know the story, it had not rained for 3.5 years. Elijah had prayed and the rain had stopped. And now, with the death of the prophets of Baal, there was a declaration of the sound of abundance of rain. So Elijah knew that this was the will of God, that rain would come. He was certain of it, so certain that he was able to declare it here to the king of that country, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So we might leave it at this and go on our way, and Elijah might go on his way, but that's not what happens. We look in 1 Kings 18:42, it says, "Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And then he bowed on the ground and put his face between his knees." And so here we find Elijah going to prayer. And we get from the rest of the text what happens here, that Elijah goes to pray for rain. Now, he knew that it was in the will of God, and yet he went up to pray about this very issue. And he did not just pray for a moment, but we discover Elijah in the position of persevering prayer. One might say, if God said it was going to rain, why would he pray it? We see, as we said earlier, knowing prayer finds its greatest effectiveness from knowing the will of God. And here Elijah knew the will of God, but he also knew that God had designed for him to be involved in the process of things that were to happen, and that he chooses to use praying men and women to accomplish his purposes. God can do these things without us, but somehow in his economy and plan, he has designed for us to be involved. That ought to speak volumes to us about the necessity of prayer and how important it is that we cooperate with God in the task that he has given to us. So Elijah went up and bowed on the ground and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." And so he went up and looked, and said, "There is nothing." So here we see the picture of Elijah praying, then sending his servant up. "Do you see anything out towards the sea?" "Nothing." 7 times he said, "Go again." Now, here's Elijah praying. Elijah already knows what the will of God is. He has already declared it to the king, who was a rascal, and yet he's up on this mountain praying, sending his servant 7 times. I don't know how long he prayed. It doesn't tell us. But I would assume that it was at least quite a bit of time has passed here for a servant to go up and look over the landscape and see what was going on, come back and report to Elijah as to what was taking place. And so here we have a picture of persevering in prayer, knowing it was the will of God, and still praying it through to the place where it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." And so he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away, and went to Jezreel. So here's Elijah praying. Here he is persevering in prayer, and he prays until he sees this cloud the size of a man's fist. Now it would seem as if there had been a cloudless sky for 3.5 years, and this little cloud was going to produce this incredible abundance of rain. Because even though it was the size of a man's hand, we were discussing this in the morning session, this was the hand of God. This was God scooping up water from the ocean and bringing it to the land. And the plans and purposes of God will not be thwarted. Even though it seems small, the size of a man's fist, this was the hand of God at work. And Elijah knew that his prayer was answered. And so he did not pray until the raindrops came. He prayed until he saw the hand of God move. How can it be that God would choose to use the ministry of prayer, of intercession, of coming to God in order to move his arm? It is an amazing thing. It is humbling to even consider that he would allow us into such a privileged place that we could be involved and be instruments of God through prayer in bringing about his revealed will. And so we see here the necessity of prayer, and perseverance in prayer is something that's part and parcel of the Christian experience. We don't understand all of this. I don't. Maybe there are scholars who do, who have come up with reasonings beyond that are clear and understood. But there is a place for persistent prayer. We discover Daniel, who prayed for 21 days. And as he prayed for 21 days, finally an answer comes in Daniel chapter 10. And it says, "In those days," verse 2, "I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 weeks were fulfilled. And the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river that is the Tigris, and I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. And his body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire." And so he goes on to describe who this is that met with him. And here's what he said in Daniel 10:11. "O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. He said, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have become because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia." So there was a spiritual situation that was taking place here. And, people can speculate and come up with all kinds of things about this, but one thing for certain, there are things we do not understand that are going on in the heavenly realms in terms of prayer. And that though we may not understand them, we know that there are times when the answer doesn't come immediately. That does not mean that God is not on his way. It does not mean that God has not sent an answer. And whatever his economy, whatever he has permitted to take place, sometimes maybe it is for the purpose that we might persevere, that we might realize, that we might take prayer seriously, and that the need might be taken seriously. We would not be flippant in coming to the Lord our God. But whatever the circumstances or reasons, God comes, and that he delights for us to persevere. Now, I do not believe, as I said earlier in one of our sessions, that God has these bastions and walls up and does not want us to break through, and that he has all these barriers. I don't believe that. I believe that God is more willing to answer prayer than we are willing to ask for it. Prayer and all of its purposes, part of its purposes are to train us to focus on the Lord, to train us to look to God alone, to train us to keep our eyes on the prize, on Jesus Christ, so that we might not be distracted by the temporary, but turn to the Lord. Else, maybe what would happen, we would be just flippantly asking God for whatever we needed and continuing on our way as if He was here to serve us. But oh, here we see in the terms of what Daniel's heart, he said he set his heart to understand. And there we see that Daniel was seeking God for wisdom and to know things of God. It wasn't for his own glory or purposes. And the other was to humble yourself before your God. These are the kinds of attitudes that bring us into positions where we hear from heaven. And so we can see here in these two great men of the Old Testament pictures of persevering prayer. And if these men prayed with perseverance, then surely we too can have that privilege. Jesus prayed with perseverance. We find him in the garden three times bringing his request to the Father. And we find him there persisting in prayer. And we know, of course, that he was willing, he had a desire, and that was not to go to the cross, and yet he could say each time, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." But he didn't just pray once. He prayed three times. We find the Apostle Paul praying about a thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he speaks about this thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord three times that he might know deliverance, and the Lord finally gave him a clear answer as to what he would do it, this leaving him with the afflictions and saying that his grace was sufficient and that his strength was made perfect in Paul's weakness. But we can see here even another picture of persevering prayer. We find Jesus teaching on prayer. And as he teaches on prayer, he speaks about how to pray and the importance of prayer in terms of approaching God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus encourages us not necessarily to come with empty repetition. And the reason why I want us to look at this in Matthew 6 is because some of us think that persistent prayer is our much speaking. And that's not the case. When you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words, Matthew 6, 7. And so it isn't much speaking. The prophets of Baal did a lot of speaking and crying and cutting and doing and whatever else, dancing or whatever, to try and get Baal's attention. And sometimes we might think that persistent prayer is just our crying and our agony and all the kinds of things that we might do, thinking that somehow we're going to get God's attention. I don't believe that that's what persistent prayer is really all about. Persistent prayer is knowing what the need is and having a sense of God's willingness to meet us in the need, and then out of that discovering prayer and the reality of it in such a way that we are praying in the will of God by the strength of the Lord and giving him the glory that he so rightly deserves, so that it isn't just our zeal, but it is a zeal coupled with knowledge in prayer. In Luke chapter 11, these sessions seem to get a little longer when I'm doing them by myself here. The Lord seems to bring some other thoughts to mind, so I guess I'll take the liberty to do this, maybe bringing out a little more than I would have in the morning session. Jesus speaks about the persistence of someone who comes, has guests who come, And in Luke 11:5, he says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me in his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. My door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so here we discover Jesus teaching and encouraging us, come and ask of God, and know that God is a willing God, wanting to meet with us, wanting to bless us, and to pour out a blessing on us, to persist in prayer, to bring our request to God. And so there may be many times when we come to the edge of blessing and we miss the blessing because we have not persisted in prayer. God only knows these things. He gives the other parable in Luke 18:1, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "There was a certain city and a judge in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary,' and he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" This passage, here's another picture. An unjust judge and the woman who has a problem, and she brings it to him, and he doesn't care whether she gets a good answer or a bad answer, but because she pesters him, he finally gives in and gives it to her. Now, Jesus is not saying that he wants us to come and pester him, because I don't think you could pester God in coming in prayer. But what he says, if an unjust judge would do this, how much more will God avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. God will answer prayer. He's a prayer-answering God. And I want to encourage you today, persevere in prayer. Come before the Lord. Bring your requests. Make them known to him. Now, the Bible speaks about knowing that we have the petitions we desired of him because we ask according to his will. And there are great promises and great blessings there. And there comes a time when we rise up from our knees and say, "It is done." As Elijah did when he saw the cloud the size of a man's fist. And I think we need the direction and the wisdom of the Spirit of God in this. Because prayer is never divorced from the person of the Lord, from meeting with him and experiencing the presence of the Lord and giving us direction in our prayers, so that our prayers are in the Spirit, directed and ministered to by the Holy Spirit, so that we will know how to be involved in prevailing and persistent prayer. Well, may God teach us and may God show us this way. May we grow in prevailing prayer by looking to God, by discovering his absolute guidance in these matters, so that we cannot neatly package prayer into a little ABC formulas, because prayer is communion with the living God. And surely we have not figured out all of his ways in how he does things, even in prayer. But we can glean some things that can enable us to learn how to pray in a better way. I'll close with a quote from William C. Burns. He was a man who was a contemporary of Hudson Taylor, and he ministered in China. William C. Burns was driven by an all-consuming passion for the Lamb of God. In Burns, God found a man who truly cared. He cared enough to listen, obey, and to stay on his knees. William Burns recognized that shallow and superficial praying was one of the greatest hindrances to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He believed that a lack of true endurance in the secret place of prayer gives the victory to Satan. Burns writes, "Many who do come into the secret place, and who are God's children, enter it and leave it just as they entered, without ever so much as realizing the presence of God. And there are some believers who, even when they do obtain a blessing and get a little quickening of soul, leave the secret place without seeking more. They go to their chamber and there get into the secret place. But then as soon as they've gotten near to God, to Him, they think that they have been peculiarly blessed and leave their chamber and go back into the world. Oh, how is it that the Lord's own people have so little perseverance? How is it that when they do enter into their place of prayer to be alone, they are so easily persuaded to be turned away empty, instead of wrestling with God to pour out His Spirit? They retire from the secret place without the answer and submit to it as being God's will." Oh, let us persevere. Let us stay maybe just a little longer in the presence of the Lord. Let us look a little deeper. What Burns mentioned about wrestling with God to pour out His Spirit, I would sooner the concept of clinging. When Jacob wrestled with God, there was no blessing. But when he clung to God and said, "I will not let thee go until you bless me," God blessed Jacob. And that blessing was the revelation of a new name that typified a difference from being a deceiver and a supplanter, a schemer, and one who sought to accomplish even the will of God by his own means. He moved from this to the place of clinging to the Lord that he might receive a blessing. In this way, he prevailed with God. And friends, so too can we, if we are willing to come and tarry in the presence of the Lord and look to Him for the answers, for the needs, starting with our own intimate walk with God, even as Daniel sought wisdom and humility in the presence of the Lord, and bringing us into intercessory prayer with power, so that we might see the will of God accomplished in this world as we look to Him and say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. O God, we are coming. Grant to us a spirit of perseverance in prayer. Grow it in us, O God. Give to us, Lord, like the widow who came for her demon-possessed daughter, that she would not let go until she was blessed, that she would desire even the crumbs from the Master's table, and no rebuke would stop her. She continued to come until she got the blessing. And the woman who came and said, "If I could but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole." Give us hearts to pray in Jesus' name.